But it's kind of sad. I spent a day trying to find Mr. Hong, you know. I couldn't find him anywhere over there. Visit home of their children, I couldn't find them. I don't know where they go. They have a group gathered somewhere, maybe visit a couple of places, but I couldn't find them. So please pray, I need to find him and pray for him. You know, he needs help. Anyway, I want to start with a new year. The importance of the name. Why is name is important? This time of the year, 18 years ago, when my wife was pregnant and is about to deliver, so we rushed into the hospital on the January 5th, and we came out with a boy, our third boy, and I wondered, what should I name him? And so during the time of my study and struggle, I understand about developing the Daniel series, and I could not think of any other name besides the word Daniel. And so my wife and I named Daniel. Why is Daniel? Daniel is so important to my life, especially at that time, is the one who was captured and delivered to Babylon, to the heathen country, and still stands strong for his faith. And not only that, and help other people find the faith in Christ. So name is important. Some of you probably have children, and you probably think about those names is so important. Do not forget those names that God have you and call them is still alive and well today. The name's so important to the point I want to go to the Bible to see what about the name. By the way, who is the oldest man ever live? You know, Methuselah. Well, I think that you are wrong. Because Enoch is the oldest man ever living, still alive today. Okay? Methuselah is the oldest man that ever died. Okay? And so anyway, I want you to go to the book of the Bible with me. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And here we're talking about the Enoch. Okay? Here one day, Enoch, you know, Enoch was the earliest prophet, and he had been serving the Lord, and God had used him in a mighty way. And God had revealed to him, it's so important about the end time, about the wicked people that happened at that time. During that time, people eating and drinking and not have nothing to do with God. And so Enoch, he started to talk about the end time, the judgment will come, so forth. And not only him, many other people as well. But God have used Enoch a special way. And on his 50, 60 years of his life, Enoch, verse 12, go with me in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 say, Enoch lived 65 years and begot who? Methuselah. I can imagine that Enoch and his wife, when he have a firstborn son, decided, what should we name this son? And they couldn't figure out what is the right name. They keep asking God for help. And suddenly, during his time of preaching the gospel, talking about the end time, talking about judgment, there's no other name that God given beside Methuselah. Now the word Methuselah is kind of strange to Enoch and his wife. How many people would name their son Methuselah? If you know the meaning, no way you want to name your child Methuselah. Methuselah, what does that mean? Methuselah means one die or death. How many people want to name their child death? No one would do that. So how can God ask me to name my child like that? Well, that's Matthew. What about Sila? Sila means it shall come or it shall be sent. So in other words, Methuselah means when he die, it shall come. Yes, the strange name. But God sometimes uses a strange name for a purpose. God have a purpose. And sometimes we don't know what God purpose for our life or God purpose for our children. God have a purpose for everything. So God say, Enoch, you have to name your son Methuselah. Well, little he know that name is carried wide and far. Everyone would say, hi, Methuselah. What does that mean? When you die, something going to happen. And so his name alone is a message. His name alone is proclaim the judgment. His name alone is talking about something will happen when that person dies. Okay, so as Methuselah growing old, I mean, as he's growing up in the age, a strong young man, as year go by, and decade go by, and century go by, he's still strong. And he also, after that, he bear a child. What is the child's name? Go with me in verse 25. Methuselah lived for 178 years and half a first son called, what's his name, like guy? Lamech. And so here it is. Methuselah have the son and continue preach about it. And after Lamech born and lived, and to a certain age, he have a son called Noah. You know the name of Noah very well. God called Noah to preach the end time message. God might call us, each one of us called to preach the end time message. So God called Noah to preach for 120 years before the flood. God already foretell that the flood will come. It's not may come, it will come. And so Noah, God told Noah, build a great ark that can fit everyone would like to come in. To fit every single animal, every creation. So God called him build a big ark for 120 years. He only not only built the ark, but he preached about the end time. The judgment will come. Oh, the people back then, they don't want to listen to Noah at all. How do we know that? We go into the book of Matthew chapter 24 with me. If you turn with me, Matthew chapter 24. And the Bible says this in the very verse that we're going to read here, Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 and 13 through 39. Verse 37 through 39, we're going to read this. But as in the day of Noah, where also the will of the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving marriage until the day of Noah entered the ark. That's been for 120 years. They was mocking Noah preaching. They don't want to listen. They want to make joke about it. So Noah preached all his heart out. Methuselah at that time is still alive. He's still preaching, talk about it. So many people are talking about the judgment will come. Very clearly, distinctly, exactly what happened. But Methuselah, as he aged, and people right started, why Methuselah getting old now? His hair's long and white, his beard going old, and he had to use a cane to walk. Later on, he had to use a walker to walk. And so he's getting old now. And one day they find out that he lied in bed, ready to die. And they're wondering what will happen if Methuselah died. Well, they heard about the news, Methuselah dead. And nothing happened. He died right there. Nothing happened. What does that mean? His name does not fulfill? Well, the Jewish history talking about after Methuselah died for 7 days, then the rain come. Other theologians say the very year Methuselah died, the rain came. Whatever the case is, when Methuselah died, it shall come. Exactly to the point, exactly to the time, the judgment will fall upon all flesh when Methuselah died. Noah was entered the ark. And God closed the door of the ark. And Noah was in the ark for 7 days. And people were saying, hey, see, Noah, he preaching. He said, Noah, the flood will come. He entered the ark, nothing happened. Exactly after 7 days, the flood will come. Have wiped away all the flesh on the earth. God did exactly what he said, and he mean what he said. When Methuselah, when he died, it will come. it will come. So the name is so important. The name Methuselah is so important that wherever he walked, whatever he do, proclaim that judgment hour. I wondering that God also name someone or some movement at the end time. Yes, before the civil war of this country, there's a son was born. A child about to give birth. A child to give birth. And the people gather around, try to find a name for this child. And they discuss about it. They debate back and forth for many days. Couldn't find a name. They went in prayer and asked God, what can we do? As they gathered in Battle Creek, Michigan, and that time is Elder Wagner would stand up. Let's discuss about how can we stand about this movement. What can we call a name of this movement about to come? They talk about let name this child this the Church of God. People say, no, the Church of God. Someone have a name of Church of God already. By the way, that name does not give a distinction about our faith. Other people say, well, let name, how about the Church of Jesus Christ? Oh, no. During that time, the Mormon came about, and they named the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. We cannot use that name. And by the way, that name, it doesn't talk about the pillar of our faith. What was the pillar of our faith? Yes, at that time they believed in Jesus coming soon. So they have to have the word Adventist in there. And they believe in the seventh day is the day of the Sabbath. And so they put together, we must call this church, this child, the Seventh-day Adventist church. Ellen G. White was there. And she got the message from God saying, yes, that is correct. That's the name of this child. What does that name mean? Why is that name so long? A lot of people, everywhere people say, what's the name of your church? The Seventh-day Adventist Church. Other people, Baptist, Methodist, you know, all the Protestant church, Catholic, all that. Why you change your name, change long? Have you ever come to this church and say the name is so long? You know, in a Vietnamese term, they have only two syllables. Wahao, or Phak Yao, or Tinh Lan, right? But the word Seventh-day Adventist in Vietnamese is called Cơ Đốc Phục Lâm Đệ Thất Nhật. No, seven syllable like that is too long. Matter of fact, someone there want to change it. Today, people want to change because they have a tone that is disturbing people. My friend, God, when he named that name of this child, of this movement, the Seventh-day Adventist, he have a purpose. Everyone hears about the name. There's some people heard about the name, disturbing their heart. They're upset about it. They hate about it. They talk negative about it. But with the other people say, wow, that's a beautiful name. That name leading me back to God. That name call me repentant. They call me, give me hope about the end timing. There's a two type of people. There's two type of church. And that would happen. So in 1863, that's when this child began. As this child grow, stronger, 100 people is beginning to 1,000, 2,000. I mean, to us, it's probably more. Back then, it's very early beginning of this movement. And so this church started growing, and it started to go everywhere on this world. Everywhere on the earth, every corner of this earth, there's a 70 Adventists. You know, Charles Brooke compared with this movement, and I heard the story, he said, many other denominations, big, loud, and strong, like a big Goliath, go everywhere, conquer. But here's this movement, so small, like David, so small, even small, that sling of faith, that rock, the word of God, will take down Goliath. That doesn't mean if small is no good. As more can penetrate to every single corner of this earth. And so as this movement, as this child growing bigger and bigger and larger and stronger, and as penetrate every single country in this earth. As I we see the Seventh-day Adventists, even though we start distinguishedly the faith, as time go by, there are some people in this movement decided want to change the name. Do you think God wanted to change the name? Oh no, that God know what exactly. I drove by so many churches, they want to change the name. You know, I want to change this name to make easy for people to draw other people in. The Living Hope, the Blessed Church. I drove by, this is not Seventh-day Adventist Church, but I drove by my home there. My home, I got to church. The church is just built and they call The Bridge. That sounds interesting. The bridge, and we know what the bridge. Bridge between heaven and earth. Bridge between the lost race until God. Yeah, that makes sense. But there's not calling people repentant. They're not calling people the end time message. You see, a lot of time, the Seventh-day Adventist, this child want to change his name to appeal to people come to the church. My friend, that's not God intended to be. Okay? When during the time of NASA, they decided to put down $24 billion to send an astronaut to the space to go to the moon. They did not bring the moon down to the people. They bring people to the moon. My friend, God bring us to the standard of God, not bring God's standard down to the people. My friend, a lot of time we want to change the standard, change the name. Sometimes you say, oh, this church is too hard. You have to keep the 10 commandment, the way you eat, the way you drink, the way you live, the way you worship. My friend, that's what God called us to be. And today people want to change it. Go ask that. Many people want to change to be like other people. Oh, yeah, do not preach about the 10 commandments. Do not talk about law and regulation from the Bible. No, don't do that. You see, the church that God called into the Seventh-day Adventist, they uphold the law of Jesus Christ. God said, I come to here is not to destroy the law, but to what? To fulfill the law in Matthew chapter 5. And so many churches today, they say, hey, let's throw away all the law. That Old Testament, and God already died and get rid of the law already. If God got rid of the law, why my Bible says in the book of Revelation, turn with me in the book of Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. Some of us probably memorized this already. Revelation chapter 14 verse 12 said that here the patience of the saints, here are those who what? Keep the commandment of God and the faith of Jesus Christ, right? Keep the commandment of God. So many times God say, keep, and follow. Many churches today, they don't want to do that. They want to let it go. Too hard. Many people come to church today, they don't want to change. They want God to accept them the way they are, and they don't want God to change their life. No, my friend, that's all wrong. Because my Bible didn't say that. In 2 Timothy, if you turn with me in 2 Timothy with me, if you have your Bible, and hopefully begin the year now, and we go forward, everyone should bring the Bible to church. Let's have the Bible at the foundation of faith. If go to with me in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16. Chapter 3, verse 16 say, all scripture was given by inspiration of God. What for? Profitable for what? Doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. What does that mean? The Bible purpose is to correct us, to mold us, to chain us. If we go to church today and we say, oh, I don't want to be changed. No. The Bible says, if you come to the Word of God, if you go to church, God wants to change us for better. So what is this movement, this child is about? We need to uplift the standard. Keep hold what God said in the book of Timothy as well as the book of Revelation. Keep the commandment of God. Follow. That name, Seventh Adventist, will never change. That name will be stand strong and wide, even though some churches, even though other people want to change it, but this name will not change. And I can tell you, many people want to change. As time goes by, they will leave the Seventh Adventist movement. They will leave the Seventh Adventist movement. But God calling each one of us, stand firm and strong, do not leave. Yes, the truth seems like sometimes it's falling apart. So much discussion about it. So much debate. It seemed like that. But the only thing I say, no, it stands strong into the end time. It stands strong into the end time. Wherever this name go about, it penetrates into the community far and wide. Talking about regulation and rule. And I think that's what many people compare Seventh Adventist Church with other denominations. Other denominations are changing to fit into the world standard. If the feminist movement happened in the world, let the church change into the feminist movement, accept whatever the feminist movement go about. And if the world standard changing, let accept all the everyone homosexual, marriage homosexual. If that's what the world want, guess what? Let the church do that as well. My friend, the Seventh Adventist Church, God Church, need to uphold the standard, not go the standard of the world. I don't know where about you, but this church that we belong to is my change, but you and I need to stand strong. But those who want to change usually will step out. But those who remain uplift what God calling each one of us. And so what does that name mean? The name is so important that the name in itself is a sermon. The name in itself is conviction. The name in itself is distinguished between this movement and the other movement. The name in itself is calling people for repentance. Just the name. Just like Methuselah. The name itself is so important to you and I. And I'm proud to be 70 Adventist. You know, so a lot of people, or maybe some people, 70 Adventist, they open the office, they open the school, they open the institution, they work in their workplace. People didn't know they are 70 Adventist. They walk into the hospital, they walk out. I didn't know that a 70 Adventist hospital. I worked with a co-worker for 10 years. I didn't know he had 70 Adventist. Engineer or Seventh Adventist nurse or Seventh Adventist custodian. My friend, what happened? Are we can carry our name forward or we are afraid we bury our name? A lot of time we are afraid we bury, oh, I don't want people to know about it. Why? A lot of people don't know about it until we say it. I'm not only a pastor, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. That name is so important. It's calling people to Christ. So many people don't know about Jesus Christ. You and I need to stand up and go to that name. About back to the rule and regulation. You know, a lot of times, can you imagine if the world we live in, there's no rule, no regulation? What if you drive on the street here, there's no signal light? How do you like that? How about no stop line sign? Wow. You know, I went to Vietnam. Even though they have a signal light and stop sign, people don't obey to it either. The world would be chaos. Now we can see that rule and regulation is so important. Think about the marriage. Okay? Marriage, is this a rule and regulation in marriage? Yeah, there's a vow. You got to make a vow, right? That, yes, I will marry this woman, and I'll be faithful to this woman, only this woman, only. And I live until I die. Right? And the man says, I will go nowhere else. I will take this woman. Yes, they're willing to make a vow. They're willing to accept that rule and regulation. They're willing to even go as far as they accepted a law, according to the law of the state, that when you marry to your spouse, she or he get 50% of what you own. Do you question about that rule? You question about it? No. We don't care less about the rule question. Because I love that person, I can give that person 100%. You know what I'm talking about? So a lot of time we're concerned about rule and regulation, but many different denominations. No, rule and regulation meaningless when we fall in love, that's nothing's matter. When we love Jesus Christ, doesn't matter how many rule and regulation God has us to do, it's meaningless because I love him, I will do it. Right? I don't know, I'm gonna tell you when you have your children grow in your house, as your children go out, pick up the trash, right? And take out, they probably complain, you know, trash? Come on, I don't want to take out trash. But after they get married, the spouse say, can you take out trash, honey? Oh yeah, I love to do that. Because the word of love, they change the whole ceiling. My friend, today, same thing with the church. When we complain about rule and regulation, that means we lost our first love. We lost our first love. Oh, why do I have to go to church? Why have to go to church on Sabbath? Why do I have to give tithe? That means we lost our first love. When we have our first love, we will do everything. And that's what happened in many denominations today. They've lost their first love. They see there's so much rule and regulation in the Bible. They start to ignore it. And the more they ignore it, the more they discard the Word of God. So God called each one of us to uplift the standard. Because benefit for who? Benefit for us. Then benefit for God. When you obey the traffic law, it's benefit for you. Because if you don't obey the traffic law, you and I might be killed in any intersection. You see, God bring these rule and regulation to benefit each one of us, call each one of us. And so as this child grow older, as you go by, and this child probably grow more than 160 years old now, and grow bigger, and every single corner of the earth that I travel, I saw the 70 of this church. I know that movement going on. I went to Philippines, I couldn't believe it. He said, you know what 70 of this? Oh yeah, I know that church. I know that you keep the Sabbath. You see, that's the word get around. The word only get around when we uplift the standard. The word only get around when we go out to this church that everyone know we are 70 Adventists. We're not just a person. I'm not just an engineer. I'm not just a doctor. I'm not only a nurse. I'm not only a therapist. I'm a 70 Adventist. And if that's the case, people will know about it. They will inquire about what you believe. And so we got to live with that name. We got to live with the name that God calling us. Some people call themselves Seventh and this, but they don't live by the name. They just don't want to go to church, and they still consider their Seventh Adventist. Sadly say, one time we go into the church board, discuss the church board, talking about the membership. And they left the church for so many years, 10 years, and we decided, you know what, maybe we have to drop the name because they don't want to come back to church anymore. And as we did drop one name, that person call in and say, why did you drop my name? I'm still a Seventh Adventist. Well, my question, if you're Seventh Adventist, or you still want to go to church on the seventh day? No, I want to go to church. I don't want to be a Seventh-day, but don't want to go to church. Does it make sense? How can you become a Seventh-day Adventist and you don't want to go to church on seventh day? How can we want to be a Seventh-day Adventist, cause a Seventh-day Adventist, when we live our life and not waiting for Jesus Christ's return? Every dollar we have, we spend for ourselves. Every money we have, we use for our family. We're not using for the cause of God for his coming. You understand what I'm talking about? And so when God calls us Seventh Adventists, we need to live by our name. Very sad to me when I see some students, see young people dress up and have a jacket on. This is a Seventh Adventist institution, and they dress just like the world. Wear so many earrings and so much tattoo and short skirt and whatever it is, and collar, and the hair, so many different colors there. And this, I came from a Seventh Adventist institution. My friend, people are misleading. They thought, oh, that's what the Seventh Adventists believe. You You understand what we're talking about? And so if we don't live our name, might as well take the name off your back. Because people are misleading, because the worst seven and thus should penetrate into the world. This is the remnant church. This is the church proclaim the end time message. My friend, God calling each one of us at the beginning of the year 2020 to live out that name. I'm proud to be a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm proud to be this, the end-time movement. I'm proud to be, to share this end-time message. Not to brag about we are better. No. We are not better than anyone. But we're proud that we can share the end-time message to people who live in the dark world, who live in or decaying, more decaying world. Let me ask you, why did God allow Methuselah live to 900 and what? 69 years. Why? He outlived Adam 930 years. You know what? He outlived his son. He outlived everyone. I'm wondering, is it worth to live that long? I thought about this reason. And so I turned to the Bible with me. Turn the Bible with me right now. 2 Peter. I'm sorry, 2 Peter. You have your Bible? Please turn with me. 2 Peter. This is my one of the favorite texts here. It's talking about why God waits so long to come back. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. You have your Bible there? You find the text right there? The Bible says this, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He promised to come back, so he's not slack of the timing. As some count slackness, but long-suffering toward us, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to what? To repentance. I was thinking about Methuselah. Maybe God not allowed Methuselah died early, but he allowed he live a little longer. Because when Methuselah died, the judgment will come. Allow Noah to preach a little longer. Allow more time for people to accept Jesus Christ. Allow more people to enter the ark. Maybe this movement, this son, God stretched a little longer. So many people to know about the message. When this people, remember when he died, it shall come. What happened after this church at the end? The Bible says, seem like he's dying. That's when the end will come. The end time, this movement will go to the wilderness to preach because there's freedom. There will be a time there's no freedom to preach loud and clear. Now, some of you probably don't believe me in that. If you read your Bible in Revelation chapter 13, those who don't have the mark of the beast cannot buy and sell. Those who don't have the mark of the beast cannot worship in the church. Those who don't have the mark of the beast have to flee to the mountain. You know what I'm talking about? You cannot have freedom of religion at the end time. And so God said, when the church seems like it's dying, the time will come. How do I know that? Matthew chapter 24. The very message, the very sign of the Matthew chapter 24 say this. Before Jesus coming back, and he said, this watch, and hear clearly about it. Matthew chapter 24, just before Jesus Christ returned. We know the text very well. Matthew 24, verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom of earth will preach in all the world, then as witness to the other nation, then the end will come. But just before that, listen to this, verse 9. Then they will deliver up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. The remnant church of God will be persecuted one more time, just like the dark age. I'm not trying to say this to kill you. I'm just telling you what the prophecy is talking about. And then many will be offended and will betray one another. Who betrayed one another? The people of God. The one who left the church. The one who wanted to change church name. The one who wanted to lower the standard. That's the one who betrayed you. And will hate for one another. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Verse 12. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endured to the end shall be saved. Who? You and I endure to the end shall be saved. You and I who live out the name that God called each one of us. Who? Who the one who carries the name into the end time? The name, the very name that penetrates into this world. I'm wondering, what does that name mean to you? Is the name Seven and this another name for another denomination? Or there's a name that God calling the great movement at the end time? My friend, it's a movement. And I'm joining that movement. I don't know about you. I pray that you will stick with it. Those who endure will be saved. Maybe it's year 2020. We look at the name Seven Lenters and look at our life. How can we uplift that name? Maybe there's something we need to change. Maybe we call upon the Holy Spirit to help us to uplift His name. My friend, when the name first came out, when the child was first born, the name is moving wide and strong. They go everywhere as possible to carry the name Seven Adventists. As time goes by and the prophets have passed away, the name starts going down and the people leading the churches start going down. My friend, maybe the time we have to go back now. The movement needs to go back like you used to. Because God cannot wait any longer. God stretched out so much. We live past the time already. Jesus could have come back already if the people of God had shared the gospel. But God gives us extra time. We call it the borrowed time. We live on the borrowed time. God eager to come back anytime soon. But He longed for you and I to share this great message to our community. Because for the fact Jesus has not come back yet, because there's someone that you come in contact with that they haven't heard about Seventh Adventist Church. They haven't not heard about Jesus Christ. Maybe God stretch out a little longer, just you and I, to share with our loved one, our children, our brother and sister, our parent, our neighbor, our stranger. Maybe this is the year God called each one of us to do that. My friend, I come on this movement and I turn determined to live and die on this movement because I'm eager to see many people to be saved. How about you? You joined this church for a purpose. You joined this movement for a purpose. You're married to someone who has seven of this for a purpose because you see something important to it. I pray that you make a New Year resolution to get back on track, go on the purpose that you had in the beginning. Back into the first love of Jesus Christ that called you. May each one of us think about today the name that God called each one of you. And the name that God called me. Am I a Seventh Adventist? Would this name penetrate to everyone I come in contact with? Shall we pray? Dear Lord our God, when he shall die, it will come. When this movement comes to the end, the judgment will come. But Lord, thank you that you stretch a little longer. You stretch the time a little longer just for you and I, just for the people here, and for everyone else to repent. If any one of us here in this room have not yet committed their life to Christ, this is now. If anyone that we know have not accepted Jesus Christ, this is the time that we share our faith. And last but not least, Lord, help us live our life to the name that you call each one of us. Help us, Lord. Nothing is impossible. And when we're able to do that, when you give us the unction of Holy Spirit, this movement will travel far and wide. And thousand upon thousand will join the Adventist movement, the end time. May you bless each one of us as we carry out this name in this year 2020. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Softly stand for our closing prayer song, Change My Heart, O God.